Welcome to Sonic Boom. My name is Leonardo Paz, and today I will be discussing indie rock artists alongside my friends Rain Gabrowski and Ava Pesavento. How are you guys?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. How are you, Rain?
I'm doing pretty well.
All right. So, yeah, let's dive straight into it. So, first of all, I want to start off by just some basic background of our artists. Ava, you want to start us off?
Yeah, sure. So, the band I'm going to be highlighting today is called Death Cab for Cutie, which is an indie alternative rock band that was formed in 1997 in Washington by frontman Ben Gibbard. The band was originally a solo project, but he expanded it into a five-person band upon signing a record label deal in late 2004 with Atlantic Records. And now the band has 10 studio albums, not including live albums, EPs, and singles.
Nice. All right. Rain?
All right. So the artist I'm going to be focusing on is called Ardeo, and this is a four-person band. And there are four members, with Ray being the lead singer, Rob and Jai being the guitarists, and then there's Leon, who is the drummer. And they are based in the UK, and they make a lot of music regarding personal trauma that they've been through within their lives, and then also about political issues that have arisen in the UK while they've lived there.
Wow. And lastly, I'm going to be covering solo artist Tommy Offling. He was born and raised in Johnsburg, Illinois. He was influenced very early on by music. He started playing drums when he was four, even recorded like this album when he was just seven. And he would continue to take on music, learning a variety of instruments, with guitar being his main one. But yeah, what interested you guys in this specific artist that you're covering? Rain, what interested you to cover this artist?
Well, I've been interested in this artist for a while back. I found them on TikTok, I believe. And I really liked what I heard, because I grew up listening to like a lot of what I would call like classic rock. Like the bands, like the main one I think of when I think of when I was little is like Kiss. Like I listened to that kind of rock growing up. So I enjoyed the style, but a lot of times, you know, it was about like love songs or sex or something like that. But when I listened to Ardeo, they had like kind of those same elements that I liked when I was a kid, but they also had a more meaningful like lyrics and message, which I thought was really interesting because I was really excited to get back into that genre that like I grew up around and I loved listening to, especially with my dad, and have the lyrics be something that meant something more to me.
Yeah, that's great. For me personally, I also found this artist, Tommy Offling, through TikTok, which I guess shows just how easily you can find these great and kind of underground indie rock artists on the TikTok platform. And I genuinely just liked a lot of his music because I've always been into that indie rock genre. I would listen to a lot of it during quarantine when COVID was happening, and it was a genre that just was amazing in every single way to me, and it was unique and just something that I felt like I could listen to over and over again and just not get tired of it at all. Ava?
Same thing with Leo. I really started liking indie rock in my freshman year of high school, which was like right before quarantine. And then I really started listening to it during the same period of time. And then Death Cab was one of the bands that really got me into this genre. And I started diving into their discography. And I actually had the chance to see them back in August in Chicago on their 20th year anniversary of one of their first albums. And it was a great show.
Yeah. That sounds awesome, Ava.
Yeah, that is really cool. We all have, you know, these great artists, and I kind of want to dive a little deeper into their sound and how that makes them independently unique. Starting off with my artist, Tommy Offling. He is an independent musician, so he mixes and produces everything himself. And the quality of his music can definitely be lower in quality sometimes, but I feel like that makes the music more intimate. You know, it makes it feel more real, as there's kind of the standard to make music that's just perfect. Not only that, but he uses the space of his apartment to kind of make it, once again, more intimate. He doesn't record his music in a studio. And he also uses a variety of these kind of spacey, warm, and I guess you can even say nostalgic instruments, such as, you know, warm synths, bells, and it just gives it this different atmosphere to his music, which I really do enjoy. Ava?
So Death Cab, they kind of have a unique but recognizable sound, and it's mainly because of their guitar tone, which has stayed the same throughout all of their albums, which I think is super cool. And it kind of gave them a signature sound that people can pick out if they hear a song that sounds like it and they're like, oh, that sounds like Death Cab. So I think that's super cool. But also the lead singer, Ben Gibbard, he's an extremely talented songwriter, and he was able to blend like very poetic and introspective lyrics with really pretty melodies. The sound is very heavy with like melodic guitar, and there's a lot of keys and synths. So it made it really pretty, and then it gave the band their signature feel. And like I said, they've been able to preserve this sound throughout their whole career, which makes it more special for even listeners and for the band themselves. And then their music is often described as sad, but in a more vulnerable and cathartic way rather than just depressing. And it's mainly due to Ben Gibbard's lyrical style. And the lyrics discuss love, loss, mortality, regret. And their musical style creates a mood that supports these lyrics. So it's very, like, melancholic, and it's super pretty. So that's why I like them.
Yeah, I also really enjoy that, like, melancholy, like, you know, side of indie rock. Right?
Yeah, with what you were saying about the melancholy side, they're... is a little bit of that in RDO, but I actually like them because it isn't all of that. And they tend to have a lot of like distorted guitar and whatnot, and this overall more angry sounding type of thing, which actually really appealed to me because they're taking all of these like personal traumas and all of that, and they're making it something other than like just being depressing, because a lot of the artists I listen to outside of indie rock tend to be a little bit more sad, and indie rock is a little bit of my break from that. So one thing that like will always be in their songs is the lead singer always has like this one crazy belt line that they should not be able to hold for that long, like if they were human, but they do it anyways. And there's always that one moment in their songs, and it just stands out, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, I definitely feel like all of our artists share some similar aspects, you know, in just feeling and just how they sound. And it just truly shows, you know, the similarities in indie rock, but also how these artists are able to make it their own and make it unique to their own personal sound. We're going into a small ad break, but we'll be right back.
Sonic Boom is brought to you by the Music Department at Lewis University. Hi everyone, my name is Wesley Morgan, and I'm the new music professor at Lewis University, where I teach music production courses and bass lessons. I'm excited to tell you about a great opportunity we have for anyone interested in a career in the music business. In addition to our BA in music industry, we now offer a fast-track program that lets you earn both your bachelor's degree and MBA in less time than it would take to complete them separately. Whether you dream of being an A&R rep, a record label executive, a concert promoter, or exploring another path in the music industry, this program will give you the training and experience to stand out in a competitive field. To learn more, visit lewisu.edu/music.
Thank you so much for joining us once again as we continue to explore the art of indie rock and indie rock artists. So, first off, I want to just ask, how popular are your artists? How do you know exactly how many average monthly listeners they have on Spotify? If they're mainstream, you know, or if they're, I guess you can say, more and more underground indie rock artists that don't exactly have that mainstream audience where they're just having like these millions of monthly listeners. Ava?
So I think that Death Cab specifically might be more popular with an older generation, like maybe the generation before us, just because a lot of their music, or their most popular music, came out in like 2005. So a lot of the listeners, like my parents like them, my aunts and my uncles listen to them. So that's kind of what I mean by like older generations. But as far as Spotify, like monthly listeners, they have 3 million monthly listeners, which is a lot, but it's not like any of the mainstream like pop artists that we see today. But obviously, since it's like sort of a smaller genre, it makes sense. But I'm trying to say that they're not like underground, but they're also not super popular, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely doesn't compare to, you know, some of these pop artists who are literally getting 50, 60 million monthly listeners. When it comes to my artist, Tommy Offling, he's actually somewhat, I'll say, of a smaller artist in the music industry, as he only has 270,000 monthly listeners. I feel like a lot of that comes from the fact that he doesn't promote his music. He doesn't promote his music at all. All he does is just kind of release his music, and there's an audience that finds him each and every time who also enjoy his music as much as he does enjoy making it. And he's also an artist who isn't really looking forward to like chasing that fame, chasing those like, you know, millions of streams or millions of monthly listeners. But I definitely like the fact that he's like a smaller artist, right?
Okay, so yeah, your artists are definitely more popular than mine. Mine is very underground. Looking now, they have just under 52,000 monthly listeners. I'd accredit a lot of that to be that they didn't really start picking up popularity until 2023. So they haven't had as much time in the game. Even though they've been in the industry, they didn't have like their big song until that time. And I feel like part of it is also that they have not traveled outside of the UK in their careers so far. Like, RDO is just solely based right now in the UK. And they, like, have a very small community. Like, it's to the point where, like, they have, like, a Discord channel and, like, they can communicate with most of the fans on there because it's such a small community. But I feel like that's also what makes the community, to me, such an appealing place. Even though I would love for them to gain more popularity, I would love for them to be able to branch out and come to the United States. I feel like right now, part of the charm of RDO is that it is a small group that has this amazing music and is expanding. And it's just so exciting to get to see them expand more and more.
Yeah, I definitely love when an artist has this, you know, smaller community that they can really interact with and they can really connect with. I think it's great. Given our different, I guess we could say, popularities between our artists, I want to speak on perhaps a particular song in their discography that is not really well known when it comes to my artist, Tommy Offling. He has this song called If and When, which I think should definitely have a lot more streams, as it is just, I want to say, it highlights just Offling's creativity when it comes to making these catchy guitar riffs and just his storytelling lyrics, where he kind of puts you in the story within the lyrics. And it's just an amazing experience, once again accompanied by all those nostalgic and woozy instruments in the background that just make the track sound so much better. Ava?
So one of my favorite songs that I feel like is lesser known by Death Cab is called Passenger Seat, which is off their 2003 album Transatlanticism. And although this is the second most popular album, I feel like this specific song doesn't get enough recognition. But this song is a piano ballad and it's very simple and beautiful. And Ben Gibbard's soft vocals and his emotional lyrics tell a story about the genuine connection between two people during a car ride home, where a sense of trust and belonging allows everything in the outside world to fade away. And when you're listening to the song, it sort of paints a picture that you can sort of picture yourself in that situation, and you're in a car and you're driving and it's quiet and it's dark. Like, you can kind of picture that in your head while the song's playing, which I really enjoy. And it's a song that I like to listen to early in the morning if I'm just waking up, or if I just need to relax and calm down, because it's very soft and it gives me a warm, comfortable feeling whenever I listen to it. So if that's something that you guys are interested in, or you like that kind of sound in a song, if you've never heard it before, I really recommend that you check it out. It's called Passenger Seat by Death Cab for Cutie.
Yeah, it sounds like a very peaceful, very interesting song, right?
Okay, so the one that I think is one of the underrated songs that they've done, I would say Billionaire Nightmare, and that's from their 2021 album called Shaped Shifted. And honestly, I think that entire album is underrated. There isn't a whole ton of streams on it, but it's a really good album. It's one to get your energy up if you need it. And the song Billionaire Nightmare is based around this idea of, like, becoming the nightmare of the billionaires. It's about taking that social hierarchy and kind of reversing it and giving yourself more power. So it's a really empowering song that I love. It's also my go-to workout song. So it's honestly great. And you can tell how the vocalist has also begun to more and more branch out into, like, now that they have, like, those, as I mentioned earlier, they have the belts in all the songs. This was right before they started integrating a lot of that into their music. So it's very much content and lyric based, while also being this sort of indie rock music as well. And it brings such a vigor to mend the political state and the music, which I feel like a lot of influential music that later on is remembered, I feel like that is a large aspect of it, of bridging the common world that the musicians are in into the music world.
Yeah. Speaking on, you know, these particular songs that we think that deserve a lot more recognition, I kind of want to transition that into the artist as a whole. Why do we think that our artists, the indie rock artists that we picked, deserve more recognition in the music industry? Starting off with Tommy Offling, I think that he deserves a lot more recognition because he's just a very creative musician. He is constantly making music. As a matter of fact, he just recently released a whole album, and he does so with his own original sound. He hasn't fallen into the trends of popular music genres, but rather just keeps that indie rock sound that he has made his own and continues to release. And on top of that, he's just genuinely such a humble guy. You know, he doesn't overpromote his music. He just releases it, the audience finds it, and there's this moment where they both enjoy it. Something even interesting that I found out about Tommy is that he does music as a hobby. He's actually currently a student in college to become a history teacher, which I thought was crazy, you know, given how praised his music is and just how popular it has gotten through things such as TikTok. You would assume that he would kind of go lean into, you know, the music career a little bit more, but doesn't mean that he doesn't enjoy it. But I still do think that he does deserve a lot more recognition. Ava?
So the reason I think that Death Cab deserves more recognition for their music is because they were kind of the band that shaped the indie rock landscape, particularly in the early 2000s. And I feel like when you think about indie rock as a genre, especially in the early 2000s, Death Cab is one of those bands that people will think. But there's still, like, I know I said earlier that they have 3 million listeners, but I feel like they can still be more appreciated for the art that they do create. In my opinion, every song is beautiful and it has emotionally complex lyrics that are relatable, which is also what I look for in the music that I like. If I can relate to it, it means more to me, like you were saying, Rain. And they have a large mix of songs across their discography that you can sing along with, that you can dance to, you can cry to, you can do all of those things at the same time. So I also like that because although I describe their sound as like signature, melancholic, sort of sad piano guitar songs, they do have a lot of other songs that are upbeat. And so I kind of like that because they have that diversity in their discography. And it's one of the reasons why I've never got tired of listening to their music because they have such a wide range and I can kind of choose what I want to feel when I listen to their music. So I think it's great, but I definitely recommend their music to anyone who is looking for any recommendations or anyone who wants to branch out their music taste. They're definitely a great place to start along with wanting to get into indie rock. So I really like them and I think that they deserve a lot of recognition because they create super beautiful art.
Yeah, that's great. Rain?
Yeah, so going a little bit off of what Ava was saying again about the meaningful lyrics, I think that they make a lot of music about really just hard to approach topics. They are very vulnerable in what they do. Also, with why they deserve more recognition, I feel like just the music they are creating can be very positive. It can reframe a lot of different mindsets about different issues, and it is generally just a great release for anyone looking to just release some of that pent-up anger. And that's not even including all of the vocal techniques from the lead vocalist. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Their vocals are divine. Like, seriously. I don't know how it is humanly possible, but apparently it is. I think it's a mix of all of that and why they deserve more recognition. They just are also like really genuine with their fan base. They pour a lot of work into what they do. Also, within their music videos, they create like a whole lore storyline type thing of mysteries of a plot for the fans to figure out. So it really is just a lot of genuine hard work and love poured into it.
Yeah. So I definitely feel like we covered some amazing indie rock artists here. I'm looking forward to listening to Death Cab and RDO. I think they're great artists based on what we've talked about. And that's all for today. Thank you so much to Rain and Ava for joining me and helping me produce today's episode of Sonic Boom. My name is Leonardo Paz, and I wrote and produced all of the original music for this episode. Thanks to everyone out there listening, and we hope to see you next time on Sonic Boom. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are our own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Lewis University. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. Sonic Boom is a production of the Lewis University Department of Music. For more information about this podcast or the Department of Music, visit lewisu.edu/music. That's lewisu.edu/music.